I was up half the night last night with various family members of people trapped in hospitals, their advocates, and Annie Quiner, the widow of Scott Quiner, who was murdered by a hospital and the CDC death protocol, now devoting her life to saving others. It just doesn't end. And politicians and authorities sit silent while thousands of Americans lay trapped in these cold, bitter institutions, depriving them of food and water to hasten their move to a deadly ventilator. We must find a way to stop this madness. How many people can we save day after day after day, and how many are we missing? In today's show, we'll look at how to regain our freedom and shed the indentured servitude imposed on us by the corporation known as the United States of America. Learn more. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine. Welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Friday, October 14th, 2022. I'm glad you're with me tonight. While the rest of the world goes about its merry way, going to the grocery store, dropping the kids off at soccer, living as though the COVID hoax was just a distant nightmare that's all over, many others are suffering quietly at home, disabled, no longer able to walk across the room without getting short of breath or having chest pain due to these bioweapon shots that they keep taking over and over again. And many people are attending the funeral services of friends and relatives who've been taken down. But nothing is more sad than those who get trapped in American hospitals right now. It could be a broken bone. It could be a stomach ache. It doesn't matter. When you go into the emergency room, you will be swabbed. And most of the time, this fake PCR test will come back positive, giving them the legal right to isolate you immediately, strip you of every one of your patient rights. That means, you know what your patient rights are. Can't leave, no right to try anything, no right to refuse anything, and no right, apparently, to food and water, basic human needs, maybe even relieving yourself. How many people are laying in their own excrement because they're being tortured and treated like animals, worse than animals? And then they put you on a program of drugs and food and water, as I said, deprivation, that will weaken you to the point where they then justify force ventilating you, which further damages your lungs, thrusts you into so much pain, despair, panic, and suffering, choking on those tubes, that you will wish that you could die. How have we lost so many of our God-given rights? They've slipped away, sometimes little by little, and lately, some of them in big chunks, very quickly. As a society, we've been duped, deceived, and betrayed by those we've trusted most. Elected officials, ivory tower doctors, nurses, teachers, and the list goes on and on. Because medical tyranny is slavery. With a virus no one's ever seen or isolated in its whole and pure form, that's pretty much burned down, the mask hysteria, which is another form of slavery and human degradation, dehumanization. It's unbelievable. I want to highlight for you a particular story that came to me a couple of days ago from a woman named Shy Irene, who tried to bring her mother, Vicky Jo Todd, into the Maury Regional Medical Center, a part of Vanderbilt University, on Tuesday, just this past Tuesday, October 11th, at 2 p.m. To my knowledge, these despicable nurses, doctors, and administrators turned Miss Vicky Jo away, and she was there to get her pacemaker checked. Can you imagine? She has probably, I'm assuming, an implanted pacemakers, sometimes they're external, but nevertheless, they control the pacing of your heartbeat. I think you'll agree that's pretty critical, right? Well, they turned her away and they never conducted her pacemaker check because she wouldn't wear a mask over her 24/7 oxygen that she was wearing because it made her dizzy and made her uncomfortable. This is a regional hospital. I want you to see the pictures here in Columbia, Tennessee, and it's part of the division of Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Shai's mother, Vicky Jo, had an appointment for a checkup of this pacemaker, like I said, that keeps her alive. It has to be calibrated. It has to be frequently checked for accuracy. And oftentimes it needs to be reset. After moving through the medical center, I want you to know, to get to the heart health department, which, by the way, the hospital and the county and the entire Vanderbilt medical system no longer has a mask mandate, but the heart center apparently is taking it upon themselves to arbitrarily impose this. So after trudging, pushing her mother in a wheelchair with oxygen to get to the heart department, the nurses and receptionists refused to see Shai's mother, Miss Vicky Jo, because they didn't want to wear a mask. Miss Vicky Jo Todd, the mom with the pacemaker, and her daughter live in Lynnville, Tennessee. The mask makes her mom, who's already suffering from profound heart disease. And remember, I've told you the heart and lungs are one system. So when you have heart disease, you oftentimes have pulmonary problems and vice versa. It makes it difficult for her to breathe. Can you imagine over her oxygen? She's wearing oxygen. Think about the absurdity of that. So the daughter asked if the mother was being denied medical treatment because of refusing to wear a mask. Mind you, there is no mask mandate in the general university or this county in Tennessee. We wanted to feature someone that Shai Irene, the daughter, and Miss Vicky Jo had to deal with at the Maury Heart Center, Tina Falconberry. Because Miss Falconberry, who's apparently a PR person in the hospital, was instrumental, according to the daughter, in ensuring that the mother did not get her critical pacemaker checkup. This woman could have a malfunction or an incorrect setting that is allowed to continue on her pacemaker that could cause her to have a sudden arrhythmia, to cause her heart to stop, to cause her heart to go into ventricular tachycardia, which is dangerous. It's a precursor to a ventricular fib, which is not a beat at all. People who need pacemakers have damage to their internal pacemakers. They're called sinus nodes, right? And there are different nodes. Bring up a picture of the heart with the different nodes. There's the SA node at the top, and there are backup nodes that don't pace it quite as fast, but it's nature, God's way of keeping something going. Your heart needs something that tells it to beat X number of times a minute. The SA node or sinoatrial node is that first node at the top that is your God-given pacer that keeps you at about 70 to 80 beats a minute or within your normal range. People have damage to their hearts. They get scar tissue. Maybe it's near these nodes and there are subsequent nodes below it. Not as efficient or the right beat, as I said, but enough to keep you alive. And so any damage to the heart, any change in electroconductivity, but biochemistry, pressure sensors, it's a very complex, as you know, organ, can cause damage, permanent damage, to your internal natural pacer or pacing system. So when you're given a pacemaker, again, as I said, whether it's an external pacemaker you wear and it's connected with a wire and it keeps your heart beating at a certain rate, or whether you have an implantable one under your skin near your heart that's connected. It's a critical device. The virus is burned down. She's not exhibiting any flu symptoms. There's no reason given, no science. But oh, they were certainly sharp enough to keep sending Miss Vicky Joe requests for donations to that cardiac center that's taking such good care of her. Right, Tina Falconberry? Yeah. So Miss Vicky Joe could have a malfunction due to an incorrect setting or a slipped setting that could cause her to die. And the irony is they walk, you know, her daughter walks her through the entire hospital system to get to, you know, with that has no mask mandate and didn't require any masks. She pushes her mom in a wheelchair with a mask, her oxygen and her tank on the side, into the heart clinic that then demands all of a sudden that she wear a mask in order to get her required pacemaker checkup. Depriving her of getting that life-saving checkup for a device that's keeping her alive because she doesn't want to wear a mask, a paper mask, over her oxygen mask. She's having trouble breathing enough. And again, no symptoms of flu, neither did her daughter, according to them, in a hospital that no longer has a mask mandate. This is the kind of absurdity, torture, unethical behavior by medical people that thrusts people who come there, innocents who come there for help, into slaveries at the whim of just anybody in a hospital right now. Because they're getting incentivized to torture people. It's absolutely despicable. How do these people sleep at night? In the next segment, we're going to talk to Ann Vandersteel because we're going to put the connection together in terms of your bodily, your control over your body, where it goes, where it doesn't go, what medications are put into it, what medications are not put into it because of your preferences. I think the most frightening thing I've seen, or one of the most, definitely top three, in this whole COVID nightmare, is the suspension of patient rights in a hospital. And when you regain your sovereignty over yourself, and Anne will explain how most of us lost it at birth with the institution of our birth certificates. But when you regain it by becoming an American state national, those rights all come back to you. That's my understanding. And we're going to have her explain more of it. But for the rest of us who haven't corrected our status, right, to relinquish ourselves from slavery imposed on us from the corporation that we call the United States, right? We are at risk for the people. Well, how do you know? How do you know your rights were? Take a look at the CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. You can just Google in or whatever browser you use, DuckDuckGo in. Blanket waiver. Put CMS blanket waiver. That should probably get you there, unless they're blocking that now. Blanket waiver. Oh, we're letting you know that you have no patient rights. You step into a hospital system? You don't have the right to try anything. You don't have the right even to sign yourself out against medical advice. You used to be able to sign a form. You don't have the right to say, I don't want the nurses in here at this hour. I don't want remdesivir. You can say it all you want. Your family and advocates can be on the phone screaming it, as Scott Sharat told us with his daughter Grace, I don't want my daughter to be a DNR. I don't want my daughter to get those medications like midazolam. I don't want her suppressed. And they don't have to do it. That's the reality. It's not just legal immunity. Oh, they don't want the hospitals to close. They can't practice if they have to be worried about every little lawsuit. How about stop murdering them? How about stop depriving them of food and water, you despicable pigs? You call yourselves doctors and nurses? These people are coming out emaciated, damaged, shrunken. Makes me sick to my stomach. Sick to my stomach. Well, before we move on to my interview, my discussion with Ann Vandersteel, who's so bright and who really shines an incredibly hopeful light on what you can do to protect yourself and your family, I want to make you aware of the fact that the last time the economy looked like this, the stock market tanked over 50% and the US dollar lost 46% of its value, while at the same time, the price of oil quadrupled. Have you seen those gas prices? Yet while the US economy collapsed during that, the price of gold shot up 1,300% and silver skyrocketed over 800%. So if history repeats itself, and it's not looking good with this inflation, bleeding our country dry to send it to this corruption haven called Ukraine, we could be seeing this happen all over again. Yeah, actually worse. Can you afford to miss, though, during that time, what could be the biggest gold and silver boom of our generation? Please check it out and call Gold Co. at 855-791-2619 to learn more. Because when you do, you'll not only get a chance to protect your retirement savings with gold and silver, but you can get $10,000 in free silver just for doing it. This is a rare opportunity. Don't miss what could be your best chance to protect your retirement savings. Call Gold Co. at 855-791-2619. That's 855-791-2619. When I return, we're going to talk to Ann Vandersteel, who's an American state national, and she's going to tell us how we can reclaim our body, our mind, and our spirit away from the corporation known as the United States government, the United States of America, and maybe come away with a greater power when we find ourselves under the control of these authorities. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Well, the show is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health, LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo food line, Cocoa Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you're doing something good for your body. They start with 100% organic cocoa beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then they blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you have ever felt. Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing inflammation with one simple drink. It's friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. They're offering up to 15% off when you use the promo code RUBY. Go to earthechofoods.com and use the discount code RUBY for your 15% off. Well, there's a lot of information flying around relative to the concept of state nationalism, that we were born into some kind of corporate slavery, and a tremendous movement has ignited across the United States to do what's called correct your status. It's a pretty hot topic, and like most lightning rod subjects, it's getting some confusing play. So who better to turn to than an expert in state nationalism, someone who's been through it, and someone who's teaching others how to do it? The new co-chair of the late Dr. Zelenko's Z Freedom Foundation and the now former host of the blockbuster show Steel Truth is my good friend, Ann Vandersteel. So glad to see you today. Thank you for being here.
Jane, it's so great to be with you and on such a great subject, something that I've personally gone through starting in February of 2021, the journey. I think we all can agree. Life education is a lifelong journey. And what we were taught in school was a narrative about so many things. Our history has been a narrative. Science, evolution, all these narratives they've tried to germinate and just foster and, you know, make reality in so many of us. For those that are truly Christian and believe in God and believe in the Bible, we're now actually learning the truth about our country. And of course, we understand we're founded as a Christian nation. But frankly, the law comes from the Bible, and the narrative we've been told and the stories we've been told throughout history and throughout our education process is anything but the truth. And that's what I'm excited to impart on your audience today, because with truth comes freedom. Yes. And, you know, frankly, everything revolves around God. God is truth. And he's put everything that we needed to know in the Bible, and our founding documents are really based on that. So when you look at it from that context, everything starts to make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah. So what is the truth about our status as, you know, we call ourselves American citizens, right?
Right.
What's human? What's the people? What's a citizen? You know, give us a little beginning on that so people understand why this is so important.
Well, it revolves around jurisdiction. Juris, that in which you stand. Mm-hmm. Are you stand on the law of the land, the law of the sea, or the law of the air? L-A-W, land, air, water. God gave us dominion over the earth, the land, the air, and the water. That was our law. So correcting your status out of the corporate citizenship in 1868, the 14th Amendment was unconstitutionally ratified, meaning right after the tumult of the Civil War, they decided to make everybody U.S. citizens. And we were all state nationals. We had a union of states. We came together and we decided to form. Remember, God created man. Man created government. People created government. And we decided to form a federal government for the common defense of all the states, the union of the states. We weren't incorporated into a centralized government, unlike how we operate today. And so what happened in 1868 is they took our state national citizenship. We were all state citizens. I inhabited in the state of Florida, put me back 250 years. And then they said, by ratifying this amendment, to which two states had a major meltdown, New Jersey and Ohio, they made us all effectively U.S. citizens. And then 3 years later, the Act of 1871, they incorporated the United States, the U.S., the U.S. Inc. And because we became incorporated, we became citizens. Citizen is nothing more than a municipal servant, i.e. an employee of that corporation, the corporation of the federal government.
Wow.
So this is the lie that has been covered up. And while we believe we have our rights from government, we've forgotten our rights come from God. Privileges are extended by the government, such as Social Security. But again, somebody has to pay for that. And that goes back to we, the people, are funding our, quotes, Social Security. And of course, all the other privileges like student loans and anything else coming out of government financially is considered a privilege.
Services.
But again, that's extended only to U.S. citizens, i.e. municipal services, i.e. employees of the corporate federal structure. And today, I think we can witness, Jane, you've done incredible reporting on the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, that public-private partnership with those for-profit corporations that have strangled the U.S. citizen with their mandates. Because you, if you're a citizen of the U.S., you serve the corporation. And when the corporation says, wear a yellow tie on Tuesday, you got to wear the tie or you're fired.
Yeah.
So hence the reason we've struggled with the mandates and why we say they're unconstitutional. We're really not free people.
Well,
so I removed myself from that structure.
Yeah.
And I'm now a free people.
By what authority did they have the right or legal right to incorporate the country once it was founded on those documents from our founding fathers?
That's a great question. They had no authority to do that. They use legalese, and I always call it the word salad, because they confound you with the language. If you've ever tried to read legal documents, for those that aren't practiced and rehearsed in it and haven't read bunches of them over the period of time, it's hard to understand what they're saying. So frankly, the legalese is what's confused and confound everybody. And it sounded like it was for your best interest, just like the Center for Disease and Control. It sounds like, and prevention, right? Well, I call it the Center for Disease and Corruption, or the World Homicide Organization, the WHO. Everything has a double meaning here, Jane, and they've used legalese to confuse us. What's legal isn't lawful. And remember, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So we, the people, are governed by our constitution that we drafted to protect us from a tyrannical government. Today we have tyranny.
Yes, we do. And so let's get to a little bit demystifying further this process. So you're really, when you say correcting your status, it's really a process that gets you back to your lawful sort of dominion over yourself, right?
Correct. I'm correcting. I'm taking control and dominion over the land, air, and the water. I'm also correcting my status and pulling myself out of the admiralty, out of admiralty courts, and the law of the water, and placing myself squarely back on land as a free woman, a free people, part of we the people, not of the corporate construct of the U.S. corporate citizen. So I've corrected my status there. But the crime against all of that really began the day you were born. Your parents having just given birth to their beautiful baby, boy or girl, it's a stressful time, it's an exciting time, and people are putting paperwork in front of you and you're just signing because all you want to do is gaze at your beautiful baby. What they're doing is they're basically acting as an authority to say, you're going to sign your baby over to as a ward of the federal government by issuing it a birth certificate and a social security number, which immediately opts in to their corporate construct, U.S. corporate citizen. I see. If you've never gotten a birth certificate or you've never had a social security number, you've never opt in, you're still free. You are free. Wow. There's no status to correct. But if you've done that because your parents did it for you and you didn't know because you're just a brand new baby, that was fraud. And there's a very famous case called United States versus Throckmorton, 1878. Yeah, fraud vitiates everything. So you can correct all this, and it's done lawfully using their own maxims of law and their own court cases as examples. And you basically draft documents called your affidavit of truth, a certiorari oath, and repudiation and revocation of citizenship. And that's basically your grievances. And you're titling this to the president, the attorney general, the secretary of state, as well as the secretary of states to the states that you're born and which you inhabit. And you you present that document and you give them 3 weeks to rebut it. And of course, it's a notarized document. And when they do not rebut it, an unrebutted affidavit is considered truth and fact and is submissible in a court of law for the court record. So you submit it, you record it, and now you have stood on the light of truth and you're declaring yourself free from the corporate construct. I went one step further, Jane. I took that document and got my brand new passport recognized by the United States government through their own Department of State as an American state national, not a U.S. citizen. And they issued me a United States passport reflecting my correct status.
So on your U.S. passport now, your new one, it says state national?
No, it doesn't say, it's not written in there, but the form, the DS-11, which is the United States Department of State's passport form, everybody fills out a DS-11 when you get a passport.
Yeah.
Whether you're American or not, you fill out the DS-11. Mine is checked off not U.S. citizen. And if you look in the Department of State's website, there is a section in the website where it talks about foreign nationals. And I am a state national as defined by the Department of State. And that is how my passport is recognized as an American state national. So when they scan it, whether I use my little passport card, which looks like your driver's license, it's your right to travel. And we'll talk about that in one hot minute here. But my book and my card all reflect the status as non-U.S. citizen as a state national. So that is the juris.
Not a foreign national. Not a foreign national. A state national. So it's a different category.
No, it's considered a foreign national, but we call ourselves state nationals because I inhabit the state of Florida. Okay. So, but the U.S. government defines it as a foreign national because I'm foreign to their corporation. Remember that now. It's all about corporate construct.
I see.
So you have to understand the diction and the juris. So my juris now is on the land. And I have to use the proper diction when I'm addressing whether it's a corporate construct or it's a free people. So President Trump said something interesting recently. Janie talked about the injustice of peekaboo, Letitia James, and he said Ivanka's a good person, Don Jr.'s a good person, Eric, he's good people. And in the state national language to us, that is person is a corporate fictional entity, people is a living, breathing man or woman. So it's almost as if he was signaling they are citizens, Eric's a state national. I can't prove it. I haven't asked Eric. I will ask him myself, but it was an interesting choice of words.
Yeah. Let's dispel some of the myths. What do you lose, if anything, because by becoming a state national, because I'll tell you, recently a lawyer kind of blurted out on a thread that I was on, and very much, you know, very bright, very much within, you know, not liking the medical tyranny. I mean, a very, very reasonable person. But she said, I can't do that because I won't be able to practice law in the United States. So is that what do you lose? And what are the truths and myths about what you're losing and not losing?
I think I recall that thread, but really, essentially, attorneys are paid actors to represent the fictional dead entity. And so when you get a birth certificate, it puts your name in all caps. You are now considered a corporate fictional entity, in all caps, dead entity. So you need a paid actor to represent you, someone to pretend they are you and be your mouthpiece in the court of law. So they are representing you to the court. Because you yourself are dead and can't speak for yourself. You're lost at sea. That's why you're in an admiralty court, the court of the high seas. So the reason that they were concerned about that is attorneys take an oath to the bar, the British Accredited Registry. And the bar came into existence about the same time as the Act of 1871. Isn't that interesting? So you have attorneys that have an allegiance to the British crown. And we're not talking about the actual Queen Elizabeth or King Charles crown. We're talking about the Crown Temple. That's a whole separate show, Jane. But we're talking about people that have an allegiance over there before they actually have an allegiance to the United States Constitution, which is we the people.
The bar is the British
Accredited Registry.
So it's not an American Bar Association. What is that? Okay.
There is an American Bar Association. That's a subcorporation of the original Bar Association. There's subchapters. You have the Bar of California, New York, Florida. You have bar associations all over. Look them up. They have a Dun & Bradstreet number. They have the main corporation. They have subchapters.
Wow. And there is so much for people to reverse in what they understand. You know, Diana West just recently wrote an article earlier this year, and she coined the phrase. She said, I think I'm now an investigative historian because there's so many lies that our country's history is, I mean, based on. And this is a huge part of it. People don't even understand about this corporate thing. Why do you have to go through this whole process of filing all these papers and et cetera, if it was due to, according to Throckmorton, if fraud vitiates it, so why isn't it just reversed?
Well, okay, two things. One, it's the principle, Jane. You're a principled woman. I'm a principled woman. When something is wrong and you discover fraud, you have to correct it. I did. I felt compelled to correct it. That's first and foremost. Okay. Two, we know fundamentally, ideologically, we outnumber them all. And I'm talking on a planetary scale. There's more people who are yearning for freedom than there are people who want to enslave.
Yes.
And of those that have enslaved us have used the financial instruments to do it for 1,000 years. So we are waking up to this tyranny and how it's constructed. And the corporate construct has everything to do with it. So now that we're understanding it, we can start to disassemble. It's like Jenga. You got to pull pieces out till you collapse the whole thing. Mm. But part of it now is making it visible. So in the United States, we actually have 10 million state nationals now, and we're becoming more visible, which is why this subject keeps coming up, which is why I have a lot of even mainstream publications asking to speak with me as of late, because they want to learn more, because they're waking up to the actual fraud. And we provide everything with true case documentation, Supreme Court case law, maxims of law, states, USC codes and statutes. It's all connected, and we can prove it in their own language and what is fact and versus what is the corporate construct. So when you show them visibly that there's literally more of us than there are of them, people tend to back down. The bully on the schoolyard, how do you stop a bully? You got to punch him in the nose. Well, how do you stop the corporate fraud? You show them that there's a lot more of us than there are of them, and we see them for what they are. So hence the reason why this movement is catching fire. Plus, there's no downside to this, Jane.
There's no loss.
There's a lot of upside. You're freeing yourself from the rules and regulations. Remember Trump, for every new regulation, he was deleting 11, or was it 22? I can't remember. That was a huge number. So he was trying to dismantle the corporation. We're helping him, as we the people have civic duty to do. We need to help from the bottom up. And frankly, we're the top. We've been led to believe that Illuminati triangle should be like this. Well, we're going to invert it and make it, you know, where the bottom layer was the people is now on top. And that's essentially what we're doing.
All right. So people aren't losing. They can still vote. They're more free than before. But what about this or any attorney who's concerned about, well, I'm out of a profession. Is there a different way to practice law when you become a state national?
Of course, there's arbitration, mediation. There's lots of different ways to come to a detente, right? You don't have to battle it out with just ridiculous paperwork going back and forth and the shuffle and stays of, you know, it's ridiculous. It's a dog and pony show so they can milk
us. It's a business.
By the way, it's a business. And the court is a bank. They get paid, and all courts are corporations too, Jane. So these judges, these prosecutors, these public defenders, they're all getting paid. They frankly don't care who wins or loses because it's not in their best interest. What's in their best interest is to drag the procedure out. Today, we're going to file this motion and we're going to respond with that. And it just drags the whole process on.
Right.
I've talked to so
it's
many
terrible.
People who've lost millions. So we can stop this madness and we can become so much more efficient if we allow the parties to actually speak and communicate. If you need mediation or arbitration, that's always been the better way to go.
Yeah, I want to, we have a few minutes left and I do want to pivot a little bit to the Z Foundation so people understand what's happening, the exciting things and Dr. Zelenko's legacy. But before we do, where can people start? Where do they, do you have a website?
Yes.
How do they start if they're interested in learning more and then making that journey?
Sure. Bobby Lawrence has been an incredible resource. He is a historian of fact and truth like I've never met. He can cite case law going back to the, you know, going back to that Magna Carta. He's really quite a repository of incredible information. He has a wonderful Telegram channel, Jane.
Okay.
It's Bobby Lawrence and it's L-A-W for Lawrence. Bobby Lawrence underscore 1776.
And
that
website?
Is
website as well?
It's a Telegram channel. He also has statenational.us is his website. Statenational.us, but his Telegram channel is phenomenal. You can pretty much go to the search window in his Telegram and look up 14th Amendment to see how that has basically stole your sovereignty. You can look at the 13th Amendment, which was never about freeing the slaves. It originally was about titles of nobility not serving in Congress, such as lawyers, which are esquires. And we have a lot of those on Capitol Hill right now. So there's a lot to unpack. But he started that Telegram channel in February of 2021. If anybody wants to get a real education, you start at the top of that channel and you work your way to today. And there's so much content. Plus, he provides seminars, whether you want to go to him in person or online. He's a wonderful resource and he's helped millions of people across the country.
About how long does it take to complete the steps? You know, if you just...
If you have no all the time in the world, meaning no interruptions, no day job like you or I, you could do it in a month because the paperwork would take you probably a week to complete, 21 days for it to mail and come back. And then if you are, you know, Johnny on the spot and you've made your appointment at the passport agency, you can file your paperwork and then go directly to the passport agency and get your passport. So you could do it within a month and a half.
And you could begin that paperwork, the beginning documents on statenational.us, Bobby's website. Okay.
Correct.
Good to know. Good to know. Thank you for that. Let's take a few minutes and talk about congratulations on being the co-chair, named the co-chair of Dr. Zelenko's Legacy Foundation. First of all, with Pastor Kevin Jenkins, of course. So we've talked about this a little bit before. I know you have a wonderful gala coming up in the spring. People, if there's a website, let's talk about that where people can get more information and where they can maybe plan to attend the gala.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that opportunity.
Yeah.
The gala is actually going to, has now morphed, Jane. We're going to include some panels. I wanted to talk to you offline about this, but I'm going to put you on the spot on your show. We'd love to have you be on one of our panels.
I'm there.
I know. I
it's going to become a conference. It'll become a whole conference.
We're going to make it a one-day conference and gala. So the people who bought tickets already, we did have to postpone due to Hurricane Ian. We had several people that were
this fall,
our keynotes and so forth that were negatively impacted. So we moved the gala, which is fine. We're moving it to the spring and our date should be forthcoming in the next day or so. And we'll publish that. But our website that has everything about that is zfreedomfoundation.org. Zfreedomfoundation.org. And it
we'll
has everything
on
there that you need.
Yeah.
Including, thank you so much for that. Including, of course, the update on the gala, which will be a seminar as well. So for those who already bought tickets, don't fear. You're going to get more for your buck. And we're very excited to be able to have that extra time now. Thank you, Ian, to be able to bring better information for everybody.
You know, things happen for a reason sometimes in God's plan. And you see this thing now. Unfortunately, we're disappointed that it's a little postponed. But honestly, it's growing. I bet it's going to be something even bigger and more, Anne. I'm just guessing. By the
time
General March
Flynn rolls
around.
Was actually really relieved, if that tells you anything, how busy that man is. Yes. So he was grateful.
Yeah, fits better into his, he's got more time to plan. But that's going to be great with speakers and panels. I mean, it's just, yeah. It's totally in the educational realm of what Dr. Zelenko stood for, is just teaching
right.
people. Two things I learned from him. Don't be afraid and just keep learning so you don't live in fear, right? I mean, what an incredible legacy.
And you know what? And the state national journey is a lifelong journey of learning. And it's been so enjoyable, so exciting. And I have so many things have been revealed now and things are starting to really make sense. I see the world so much more clearly through the lens of freedom and true freedom, because I understand the history from where we came from and what we were supposed to be and that which we are not. So I have taken myself out of that de facto fake constitutional republic and put myself in the de jure constitutional republic. And of course, I'm now in the freedom of mind where I'm truly free. And out of that corporate construct. Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm a little envious. I've got to start.
We got to get you started.
I've got great resources in you and Bobby and the organization. So and very exciting. And I'm glad we had a chance to dispel some of the myths, because there's a lot of, you know, coming in on Telegram and, oh, you lose this. Oh, that's not, you know. And I think there are some people out there that are trying to jump on the bandwagon of the teaching and helping people transition, but they're not as experienced and, you know, perfect for it as Bobby Lawrence and everything I've seen him put out. So I really want to encourage people to go to
statenational.us.
State National. Thank you. Statenational.us. And again, you know, we have that up on the screen. So if I screw up, they can see the correct spelling. So anyway, and anything else with Z Foundation? Anything coming up before the gala? Anything that people need to know about? Can they support the foundation?
Absolutely. We can use any support, because we've just now started launching the Zelenko Fellows, which is our intern program where we're going to have our interns deployed in various initiatives of the foundation. In addition to in the media side, we've got media organizations like Brighteon, perhaps even Stu Peters Network would be interested in some of the interns that we're putting out, because we believe in truth everywhere. Dr. Zelenko wanted the truth out there like a mantra, he said, and he believed media was the way to go. And I know he loves the Stu Peters Network. He loved you.
For sure.
So why not support you guys with some good old-fashioned interns that need to be taught the right way to report and the right way to produce media?
Sounds like a great idea. Lots to talk about offline, Anne. Thank you so much for being with me today. And I know you're crazy busy, but let's get together soon, and you'll keep coming back and keeping us posted on both the Z Freedom Foundation and what's going on in state nationalism activities.
And you will be reciprocating on our show, the Zelenko Report, should anything be growing inside our bodies that we didn't know about thanks to the bioweapon.
Yeah. We're waking people up, Anne. And I have to tell you, I don't know how you feel about this. Maybe this is a great closing, but I don't feel we're at a tipping point, but I feel more than ever before in the last 18 months, I feel that we are really approaching it. We're really on the precipice of it, because people are waking up, and the numbers of babies and children that have gotten these horrible shots is way, way down, way low on it, on what was anticipated. Thank God. Yeah. So
thank God.
We'll see.
Well, that's in massive part due to your work, Jane. Truly, you have been leading that charge, and thank you for the tireless work. I know how exhausting it is. So were it not for people like you, we would still be losing people, and people would still be taking that God awful bioweapon. So
yeah,
thank you
so much. Still working at it, but thanks, Anne. Thanks again. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for being
here. All right.
So that's it for this segment. Don't go away. I'll be right back in a few minutes with some important messages. Take care. It's hard to overstate how important magnesium is for your health and well-being. In fact, magnesium deficiency can increase your risk of all illnesses. And you might not know that there are 7 different types of magnesium the body needs. BioOptimizers has the solution. Their supplement is specially formulated to dramatically improve your overall health, from reducing stress to improving sleep and boosting your energy levels. Go to magbreakthrough.com and use the code RUBY for 10% off. Don't wait to be deficient. Just go to magbreakthrough.com. Code RUBY. Welcome back to the third and last segment of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show tonight. I thought I would address some of your questions that have come through. You know, when I post the Ask Dr. Jane post in my Telegram channel for the Wednesday shows on the Stu Peters show, where We pick some questions and we answer what we think are pretty much thematic questions that many people want answers to. There's always an overspill. And so I like to maybe sometimes use a segment to continue on, take some of your questions and answer them. So before we close out the show, and by the way, I hope you did enjoy the interview with Anne Vandersteel. She is an incredible wealth of knowledge. She's got great confidence. She's gone through this entire process. So when people are looking at different opportunities to learn more about American state nationalism, be careful who you're going to. There are people established like Anne Vandersteel and Bobby Lawrence who are great historians and have gone through this process, and they can advise you well. People that throw shade, you know, from the sides may not be, you have to really vet them. I'm not saying that not, you know, those are the only two people to go to, but certainly they've been through a lot, and they pretty much know what they're talking about. So I urge you to check that out. I'm doing so myself, and I think it's fascinating to do that. Okay, so let me start with a little bit of Ask Dr. Jane before I do a weekend wrap up and leave you with a couple of thoughts for your weekend. First of all, first question is coming from Sharon Mackison. And Sharon asks me, how long can mainstream media ignore all the sudden deaths? I personally know at least 7 people who've suffered or died from the jab. Also, why are some suffering and others not? Well, you've got 2 questions in there. Let me just say that they will continue, the mainstream media will continue to pretend to ignore and not report on it as long as they're getting heavily funded by these pharmaceutical companies. This is part of the problem. We have pharmaceutical companies funding your federal agencies like the FDA and the NIH and the CDC. Very dangerous, very dangerous. Remember, he who pays calls the shots. And then, you know, to your other question, I've already addressed this a number of times. They wouldn't put this poison in every single shot because in the first 3 or 4 months, so many people would be dropping dead that it would have shut the entire thing down. There would be no way to sustain it. So use your common sense on that one. And also, we have provided you with evidence through Team Enigma's Sasha Latipova, who's shown you documentation and communications where it's been divulged that there are different things in these shots at any given time. Yes, somebody could, maybe in a certain geographic location, maybe across lot numbers, among lot numbers, have gotten maybe innocuous things that have not caused permanent damage. Or they haven't, whatever they've been given, whatever that code is, maybe it's paced out to several years out. We don't know. We just don't know. And what we don't know is actually working against us. So let's go to question number 2. This comes from Mark A. Any updates on monkeypox jabs? Do you still believe they could potentially spread smallpox? Seems most gay men in my area got both shots, but haven't heard of any problems yet. Well, let's unpack this a little bit, Mark. First of all, no updates on monkeypox, which was interesting, but I believe monkeypox was used as a pretext for World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus to establish officially that there was public health emergency of international concern. Because those magic words in that phrase opened up the ability for the WHO to absorb sovereignty from individual countries, including the United States. I don't think it will hold, but you never know. It depends on how they plan to enforce it. If they say, hey, we think the monkeypox thing is out of control. The problem with the monkeypox thing is, A, they said they diagnosed it with PCR all over the world. We know that's a fraud right off the top. So for those gay men that ran like, you know, like little giddy children bellied up, I worry for you because your manifestations of whatever shots you took might not come out for some time. And remember, there are 2 approved smallpox / monkeypox injections. They're supposedly for both, but they never tested it in a real monkeypox, whatever that is. They tested it in smallpox. I wouldn't take anything from these pharmaceutical companies, whether it's by injection, whether it's by pill. They have proven themselves to be conducting mass genocide and mass disability. Now, for those of you who have pre-existing or chronic medical conditions, you have other options. I'm not diagnosing or giving you advice. I'm saying you have to exhaust than natural remedies. Type 2 diabetics can often, with very strict diet changes, reverse their diabetes. Now, type 1 diabetics, by definition, have a pancreas that no longer makes insulin. So I'm not an expert currently in that area, but I would try to exhaust every natural remedy I could for anything that I had that was dependent on pharma, because you're going to at some point have to transition away from it. Okay, so that was the smallpox, monkeypox thing. I said that there was a fear I had. I want just to address this one thing, that they could be spreading smallpox through these shots. Why? Because one of the two smallpox that was the ACAM 2000 that was approved, Jynneos was the other one, but the ACAM 2000 uses a live smallpox virus, and I've been told by experts that those people who took the ACAM 2000 with the live smallpox virus in it are contagious to other people for smallpox up to 6 weeks. And they're doing it subcutaneously with a beveled needle, very low angle, getting it just under the skin. There could be leakage, pustules that maybe develop, who knows? So those are my concerns, just knowing the basic medicine that I'm trained in. So question number three is from Tina Leah. Can you explain more about the mRNA shots causing cancers? I have a loved one who was healthy before the shots and now has a rare blood cancer, polycythemia vera with JAK2 gene mutation, diagnosed 6 weeks after her Moderna booster. Well, I can't address that specific issue and illness that your relative got, but I will tell you this. I just discussed it on the Stu Peters show just before my show started airing. As you know, Lauren Witzke, our executive producer, and a personality and in her own right and a former congressional candidate, is substituting for Stu's show tonight. And in that show, I appeared with her and she asked me about the cancer connection. And I explained that through this CRISPR technology of the mRNA replacing genetic material as it gets into the cells through the lipid nanoparticles, that process damages your God-given internal protection against DNA that runs amok and creating tumors. So that's really the connection. Okay, I hope that helps. My fourth question comes from Kalina Eccles, who says, tell me about someone fully vaxxed donating plasma. Would there be any complications? I will say this about the whole blood donation thing. And because the questions keep coming up, even though I address them, it's good to keep updated. And of course, so many people are concerned. I want to keep addressing it. The American Red Cross has stated on their website, they do not have, and they have answered questions publicly, that they do not have a screening program or procedure or any kind of safety procedure in place to differentiate between people who have taken the shots and people who haven't. Remember, one of the main reasons that Novavax, the one that was just approved, is incredibly dangerous in its own right is because they take the mRNA, they put it in moths, millions of moths, and they let the moths' DNA machinery make billions of the toxic synthetic spike proteins. Then they extract those proteins, embed them on graphene sheets, form those sheets into tubules, and this is at the nano level, put it inside the lipid nanoparticles, in their adjuvants, and then inject it into your body directly. You're getting injected directly with spikes. So what's the difference if you take blood, a unit of blood from a vaccinated, injected, however you want to call it, person? You're getting billions of spikes in their circulating blood. And so you're taking that blood and then you're just shooting it in intravenously into the person receiving the blood transfusion. Very, very dangerous. And you should beware. And I've heard stories where I've suggested that people do autologous blood donations. That means give a unit of your own blood if you have the time. And then that blood is preserved and you're supposedly allowed to go into your surgery with that blood on hand. However, the CDC death protocol overrides everything. And I've heard people come back and advise me that when they got into that situation, they were told in the hospital, oh, we're not taking your blood. We only take blood from the American Red Cross. It's like they're all colluding to make sure that you have no way out but to be killed. Okay, so it's really sad, really sad. Because if you need emergency blood, I think you're in serious danger. Okay, last question comes from Steve and Dawn. Have any unjabbed people come up with those white fibrous clots? And can unjabbed get regular blood clots from being shed upon? Well, those are two very different questions. So let me address the first one. Have any unjabbed people come up with those white fibrous clots? Every embalmer that I've talked to has not been able to connect it to a jabbed person. The majority, now they haven't even been able to do it 100% for the jabbed, but what they've said is, I've either verified that the person was jabbed when I pulled the white clots out, or I haven't been able to verify it, but they've been able to verify the majority. Now, people who have not been jabbed, they are not finding any substantial numbers at all. In fact, no one has come to me and said, I've been able to verify that, you know, maybe 10% of my white, you know, jabbed clots that I've taken out of cadavers were taken from someone unjabbed. None of them. Okay. And then your second question, which is very different, is can unjabbed get regular blood clots from being shed upon? The really honest answer, Steve and Dawn, is we don't know. We don't know. Because no one, to my knowledge, has published any kind of legitimate scientific evaluation of that. And so I would say that getting shed on maybe is somewhat of a transient thing. As people get symptoms, then the symptoms subside, or they use the Triad Air products at filtersuck.com and they get relief. They no longer get it when they're around those jab people. So we see a limitation. However, we don't know what the long-term effects are. These companies are murdering people around the world and they're not letting us in on the truth. Okay. So the honest answer is we really don't know yet. You want to limit your exposure if you have to be exposed. I do recommend, and since they're sponsoring this third segment, I do want to give a shout out here. You can see some pictures to Triad Air, which makes a lot of different products, including the personal shield, through a photocatalytic technology using ozone technology, not ozone directly, and negative ionization to protect you from whatever is being shed, whether it's the spikes or the spikes in something else in the adjuvant. People are reporting on their own that they're getting incredible relief. So that's that for the Ask Dr. Jane questions. I want to just wrap it up. It's been a great week. Thank you so much for your wonderful support. I've received some checks from some of you at my address, which is 4371 North Lake Boulevard in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, and 33410. I appreciate that so much. You help keep the studio and everything going. And then don't forget to catch the Takedown the Saturday for premium users on stupeters.com. That's the Takedown with Dr. Jane. And you will see, I'm not going to tell you who it is. You're going to have to watch the Takedown to see a takedown of bad villain, and I tell you why. That's with my hammer, the Takedown. Really fun. And so I want to ask you in closing, first of all, thank you all, so many of you from all over the world. Thank you for the beautiful birthday wishes. I'm just so overwhelmed with your kindness, your generosity, and the reach that God has given me on the Stu Peters Network. I'm grateful to Stu for everything every opportunity he's given me. It's a match made in heaven. I adore my brother, Stu. He is the best. And I just want to thank you all for the beautiful birthday wishes, the reach. So glad it's made a difference in your lives. And I just want to ask you in closing for your prayers. I cannot talk about it until my legal advisors give me the go-ahead, but I am under profound attack. And I just can't say any more than that. What I would ask you is God has placed me at this place at this time for his reasons, and I trust them, and I'm doing his calling. And I just appreciate it if you would pray for my safety, that of my family, and safety on every level, because if I get attacked from different angles, it could shut down this show and my voice And I don't want that to happen. So please pray. Please, please ask God for his hedge of protection on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show and my friends and family. Much love to you. Have a wonderful weekend. I might surprise you with a coffee chat. You never know. Have a great weekend and a great night, everybody. God bless.